So tonight we have a talk on loving kindness meditation. But I wanted all of you to settle, relax first, before you receive teachings. We've never had this much chatter before sitting, ever. It was like a cafeteria before. So we need to settle down first. Right? Why is that? Because when our mind is racing, a lot of thoughts, then we don't really hear what's happening. Right? It's like cups of water. Right? All of you are different cups. So some cups are already filled with juice, you know, something else. Some cups have holes in them, little tiny cracks on the bottom, so it just kind of slips out. Other cups are turned upside down. This is the type that's like, you don't want to be here, but your friend drag you here. You know, loving kindness. I don't know if I want to relax. Yeah, I'm able to relax. Yeah, it's pretty good. Not really sure. So the cup is not really turned right side up. The best cup is an empty cup. So it must be clean. And whatever it goes in, you can actually taste it. Once you can actually taste it, then you can assess whether you want to drink or not anymore in the future. Make sense? If you already have drinks in there, maybe some soda, and then another thing goes in, you don't really taste it. So you're not in a position to really assess whether it's useful or not. Whether it's delicious or not. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. So, four types of cup. So we need to relax. Gonna empty ourselves. Less chatter. Then we listen and things come in. And then we be the judge. Sounds good? Okay. How many of you have heard the word metta? Raise your hand. Good. How many of you have heard the word karuna? Raise your hand. Okay, a little less. How many of you have heard the word zibei? One. Okay. Metta means loving kindness. It's one of the four abodes, planes of oneness. This oneness extends to oneness between our body and mind, oneness between self and others, and oneness of previous thought and subsequent thought, meaning samadhi. Unification state. And there are kind of four particular ways to do it in this approach. Right? And the reason I say that with a little bit of hesitation, because Buddhism have so many different approaches. Right? So in this particular cluster of teachings, there are four approaches. One is love, kindness. It's the first approach. Second, and that's metta. Second is compassion. That's karuna. Third is joy. And fourth is equanimity. So in this cluster, there are these four approaches to reach varying degrees of oneness. Okay, unification, body and mind, self and others, and deeper states of concentration. Right. Reaching concentration through these different states. So the highest aim of these four is oneness. From the perspective of Chan Zen, the tradition which I belong, oneness must also be transcended. Another way to say this is, oneness does not necessarily resolve the deeper levels of problems in our life. They are temporary things that can we go into and we eventually have to come out. States of mind. You can even call them altered states of mind, altered states of consciousness. So, not really the antidote to life, but they are temporary abodes. The antidote is to understand and experience selfless wisdom. Selfless wisdom. And I'll talk about this in a couple minutes. Broadly understood, these four approaches are really antidotes to different personality types, different kind of spiritual inclinations. You know, some people really resonates with joy, the meditation on joy. Some people really resonate with equanimity. Others, compassion. Still others, loving kindness. But broadly understood, we work with our emotions. Now, the way we live our life every day, whether we are conscious or not, the habits, the pattern creates most of our anguish, suffering, misery. But we don't really know, because the way we behave, the patterns and the habits are all that we have ever known about ourselves. They make us feel like being ourselves. Right? When some days you don't feel them, you may even think it's odd, like you don't feel like yourself. They have shaped us and defined us, these habit patterns. And they're very deep, not intellectual. They're emotive. They are what drives us, what helps us navigate through daily life. There are people who are the fighting type. When they encounter difficulties, they go through. There's another type that when they encounter difficulties, they feel it's their fault. Even though in reality it may not be their fault. Right? Self-disparaging type. There are other types that always want to please others. There are other types that always want to control others. these have helped us survive. We learn this. The accumulated experiences, upbringing, and from the Buddhist perspective, our own karmic kind of stock. So naturally, we gravitate to certain type of teachings. But at the root of all the patterns, all the habits, there's some commonalities. First, the way we compartmentalize and discriminate and categorize all of our experiences into favorable, unfavorable, and neutral. This is a common thread. Pleasant, unpleasant, I don't really care either way. We do this to people. We do this to the tasks in our life, our jobs. We do this to our music that we listen to. It actually saturates every aspect of your life. Even when some of you just did this. Even that, all right, it saturates every aspect of your waking and sleeping. Yeah, sleeping. In dreams, you can still have sweat, you can still have fear, you can have all the things divorced from the actual external stimuli. Your mind can reproduce and simulate all kinds of scenarios. And what runs underneath is this basic classification. Pleasurable, unpleasurable. The third kind is neutral. Right. When we try to resolve problems, we got to get to the root. Okay. And how does that come about? I'm not going to get into that because that's a whole lecture in itself. It's very complex. But it doesn't really matter where they come about. You know, Buddhist meditation is not psychotherapy. You don't have to know the cause in order to be free from them. You don't have to. You have to recognize it in the moment and use a method to cut through, let go. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's like a barking dog. You walk by this house, fenced in, is this dog. Do you really have to? And every time you walk by, the dog always barks at you. You try bribing, you try screaming, you try to analyze where it comes from. It doesn't really matter. The dog still barks, right? And the point is not to get the dog to stop barking. The point is, you no longer influenced by it. Your mind is at peace. And then when you can do that, you discover the dog stop barking at you anymore. Right? It's like, this person is no fun, doesn't want to play. You know, you look at it, you kind of be conspicuous, walk, you know, slower, or you try to run away, it gets the dog more fired up. Right? The more you try to analyze it, doesn't help the situation. So the Chan Zen approach, cut through. Right. Does that make sense? Right. First thread is this commonality to all our patterns. Can give her a towel or something. And the gentleman over there. Okay. All right. Be careful on the recording. You're actually blocking the. Trying to record for London, my students in London. So. Okay. That's a segment we can just cut. Video. Second thing. We have to understand. So the first thread that underlies all of our pattern, habit, it doesn't matter the fighting type, the placating type, you know, the self-disparaging type. Second pattern is all of these actually relate to your body and mind. This includes your own feeling and conception of your body, your self-image, and how you feel, your own views, opinions. That's the mind part. Does that make sense? That goes even a step deeper. So first, we categorize people. The way we classify friend, foe, stranger, I don't care. Pleasant, unpleasant, neutral. A step beyond that is, it's our body. It's our mind, our views. Do you agree? Yeah, this is something very, very fundamental. Very fundamental. Right. The very concrete experiencing in each moment of being here. And you're out there. Other. Out there. That corporeal experiencing of the world. Embodying. Embodied views. It's body and mind. Goes even beyond the categorization. Make sense? Yeah. And the way we have the feelings that we have about our body image, you know, how we feel, all of our experiences relate to it, cultural conditioning, all of that's included, the body. You don't think that's something little. That actually is so deeply ingrained that it becomes normalized, that you don't even notice. In the way, extension from the body, how you dress, that's included in the body. How we dress. Right? Why would you categorize people, first impression, for most people, into friend, foe, or neutral? You see how they appear, right? How they appear to you, to me. I lies at the center, and this I is body and mind. Does that make sense? So, person dressed like you, yeah, it's pretty cool. You know, it's got a earring here. You know, this person, baggy pants, half down the ass, right? You look at that, maybe. You know. Or it's like, yo, what up? You know, you see that, you connect. Right? A person in suit, you're wearing suit. Different contexts, right? Appearance, body. Right. So, runs pretty deep. And also, you know, how we feel about our body. How we feel about our bodies, you know, a lot of people are not comfortable with their bodies. Are you comfortable with your body? No. I mean, why would plastic surgery be such a big hit at a place when people are really comfortable with their bodies? Right? You try to sell Coca-Cola and no one in that culture likes Coca-Cola. You're going to be rich? No. So, all the imaging, you know, the body. You know, we look at magazine stands, particular type of body types, you know. All these things sell because we feel we should be that. There's a clientele. Who's the client? We are. We're conditioned to be a client. Right? If you go to another civilization, another culture, they don't particularly feel the same way. You see? When I went to Japan, you know, Japanese have something called onsen. Do you know what that is? Onsen. Hot spring. Where all men get naked and get into the tub. And no one feels anything about the body. Take it off. Meanwhile, first time I did, I was like, you know, who's looking at me? But no one give a damn about you. You know? I was with a bunch of Americans. All of us are kind of studying Japanese. We go there. All of us are the only people that are giggling. You know, naked. Why? It's a particular relationship to our body. We feel uncomfortable. You know, naked. Whereas, it's not that in Japan people's bodies are perfect. They're better. They feel very proud. They're like stomach out of here and all kinds of guy, old businessmen after a long day of work, their energy is all, they all get naked, you know. When I brought my father to Japan, first time, you know, after our, you know, my father-in-law picks us up at the airport, first thing he does to welcome my father was, let's go to an onsen. And my father's like, is that what Japanese people do to strangers? Like just strip them to their clothes? I'm like, it's tiring, long trip, so we want you to relax. Like, I'm not going to relax. Right? The first thing you do, it's surprising. Hi, how you do? Let's get naked. They have no qualms about it. No embarrassment about it. Right? And our minds, our views of this and that, you know, our opinions, formations, all of these. The very formation of pleasant, unpleasant, neutral, friend, foe, stranger, good, bad. Right? Everything has a history. No need to know that history, but need to know how it plays out in the present. How it's shaping, governing your very choice every moment. And what is that? A step beyond even the second strand. First is what? Classification. Second, body and mind. The third, deeper, is discrimination. Based on sense of self. I lies at the center of all of our experiences. It's an assumed I, assumed self. Because in reality, it's really not there. Your body, when you're 2 years old, is about, you know, this big, from 20s, 30s, 60s, has changed. Just nothing in that body that used to be yours. Agreed? What about mind? We will hope your mind is gone beyond 2 year old, right? Everything about your opinion, your view, everything has changed. There's absolutely nothing in that. That's permanent, unchanging. Right? So it's an assumption based on a gathering of information, a cluster of information that we assume there's some kind of continuity. And this continuity comes from previous moment, influencing the next moment, next conscious moment, moment to moment to moment, like a candle flame. The previous moment candle flame, it looks like the same flame, but actually it's different. Does that make sense? Now, how do we gather these things together? Well, we have photos of ourselves. We have memories. The natural functioning of our brain, our synapses, right? Different systems in the brain communicating with one another. Right. Synaptic neurons. We have about 80 billion in our brain communicating. You know, we can string things together. We can string information together. But beneath that veil, very difficult to find some fixed notion. This is not to say that we don't have fixed views about who's an enemy, who's a friend. We certainly do. Why? It's not that the external world itself has these fixed values. That person is definitely bad. That person is definitely good. There's no criteria out there. It's we ourselves that hold on to our own views, our own narratives, our own images and fabricated ideas. Does that make sense? Yeah. Around an assumed self. Scientists tell us that 90% of what we experience visually is actually simulation by our brain. 90%. All we need is just 10%. Basic information, we can construct a whole narrative, whole story, visually. Just like you're sitting here and you are aware that there's someone behind you. Now, you don't have eyes there. How do you know that? Simulation. Your brain fill in the details that's actually not there. That's only visual occipital cortex, the gray matter in the back of the mind. That's only that region. But we do the same for self-image. We just need a little bit of information, like we actually feel concrete, like the body is here, and we have thinking. All that we need, the rest of the details, are projected, produced by our own mind to color what we are experiencing. And if you, and the reason I'm talking about this is because I'm getting at the root of the problem of our suffering, anguish, difficulties with people. The very reason why you're here tonight to experience loving kindness. We just superficially, you know, relax like we all did in the beginning. That's good, but it doesn't really solve problems. Right? You have to uproot it. Only when we deeply appreciate how we actually live our lives, categorizing people. This situation is bad for me. It's giving me problems. The culprit is outside. He is causing the problem. Not me. I'm innocent. Bad. This is good. Beneath that, how we relate that experience actually comes from our own body and our own minds. Right? Second level. Third level, basic core sense of self-grasping. Only when we can see through the veil of this fantasy, constructs, right? Then we can get to truly the practice of metta, loving kindness, which is the fourth. Loving kindness appreciates others. Now, I'm not talking about appreciation. that belongs to the first category of this person is good to me. That's a friend. That's why I appreciate. That person is a foe, enemy in my classification. I don't appreciate. If you operate like that, suffering, problems, conflict. The type of loving kindness that cuts through that only comes from the foundation of recognizing how deeply, deeply ingrained is our own self-grasping, ultimately. Right? When the self lessens, we can come to appreciate actually what we used to classify as enemy, but no more. We can appreciate all beings, all things. We can appreciate that everyone actually tries their best. Do you believe it?
Absolutely.
Even Charles Manson. Because that's the only way he knew how to live is to be a serial killer. Appreciate doesn't mean agree. It means resonant. We understand deeply. What resonates? The mutual suffering that we have. We are both blind to the deep mechanism within. Comprende? Right. Now you agree, and this includes Charles Manson, Hitler, everyone. If you think about it, everyone is trying their best. They're trying their best in the way that they, in the only way that they know how. You see that? That is the beginning of dropping your own views and categories of what is best, what is good. You can actually see the person. What do you see? Suffering. Pain, our shared predicament, and then great love come. So that's the fourth. First three, we go deep into something that we don't want to look at. The last two, we come out positive. So there's a happy ending, okay? Just wait. Only when we come to the fourth one, we can deeply appreciate and everyone just like us is trying. We may not agree with their ways. Once we've gone through this, we will reach equanimity. Equanimity. Of what? Sameness. Right? All beings. This is where the fourfold loving kindness practice ends up. Equanimity. Right? In the Zen tradition, that must be transcended. Because there's a sixth level, and that is no self. Selflessness. The contemplation. Like an illusion, we live in dreams. Our construct of this and that, and good and bad. And it's also a shared dream, a consensus. One civilization culture is different from another. Shared sense of body, image, mind, views. All that we think we know defines us. So the sixth level. The fifth one I basically went over pretty quick. It's equanimity. The sixth one is no self. The self come from non-self. Guagu come from non-guagu. Derek come from non-Derek. Tiffany come from non-Tiffany. All that Tiffany thinks she is It's actually just a wonderful dynamic interaction between all the people that she knows, all the conditions she has been exposed to. You see? Constant changing, flux, yet great dynamic possibilities. It's not pessimism. Impermanence is not pessimistic. It's great, wonderful display, like a show, a Broadway show. Right? So, and when we are no longer, when we can see through the veil and have methods of practice that actually overcomes this, then it's not only like a show. We actually start to fulfill the possibilities of our minds, of our bodies. Does that make sense? All the limitations, the constrictions, the cage that binds us, the category classification start to dissolve, and then possibilities come. We start to open up. Maybe in scientific parlance, in different regions of the brain. But in Chan Zen, just become a Buddha. Does that make sense? So that's the map I'm presenting you. Stretch a little bit, and we get ready to practice. Okay. Does that make sense? Do you have questions? Okay, all of you, you can follow me in doing some stretches. Okay, you join your palms. If your legs are painful, extend them out. And then join your palms. And then open up. Pretend you're holding a yoga ball. Not too big, not too small. Basically like a mid-sized 56-inch diameter yoga ball. Right? But once you have that, turn to the left and then right. And then join your palms. Look at the middle finger. Repeat. Movements and sensations. Bring your mind from outside to within your own movements and sensations. Okay. Hand on your knees. Left hand up, your left, over the back of the head. Right hand, hold your left elbow. Bend down to your right. Stretch the left side. Okay, relax and breathe into the movement. Okay, come back up. Now right. And then left. Turn to the left. Stay with your body. Relax. Raise your shoulders. Inhale. Hold. Breathe out, exhale through the mouth. Let the abdomen relax and let the weight sink down to the earth. Okay, again. Rotate the handle a little bit. Both directions. Okay, come back to the body, center. Is your body relaxed? Three main areas: eyes, shoulders, and abdomen. Okay, are we ready? Okay. Light out. How was that period of sitting? Okay. How many of you are experiencing discomfort, physical discomfort? Okay. With the discomfort, are you still able to try to use this method or no? Difficult? Difficult, right? So make yourself comfortable. Right. So when you practice this method, you just sit comfortably. You know, one knee up, holding the knee. So you have to be comfortable. Otherwise, the energy that you're sending out is like painful. It's like, may you be happy. Right? And the other person is like, what's going on here? Once we familiarize with this method, and that may take a while, a long time, working through different categories, right? You may have a very easy time practicing what we did as first category, right? People that helped you, obviously, you can help. Second category, maybe not, but third category, yes, family. Neutral, yes, so you can discover in this process your own pattern, your own shortcoming. Why can you do this category and not the other? Sometime when we practice this, we have to work through these different categories so that we reach a place where we can feel universally, everyone can, we can send kindness, kind thoughts. Does that make sense? And once you become familiar in sitting meditation, if this is your primary method, usually in Chan or Zen, this is not the primary method. This is the kind of auxiliary assisting method to weaken our grasping. Chan has his own distinct methods. But once you familiarize with this, you practice this once in a while, maybe leave the last 5 minutes of your period, devote to loving kindness, or begin with it, and then the rest you can use your other method. Once you do this for a while, it will become integrated into a kind of rewiring of how you relate to people. Fred, can you turn on the PowerPoint? Okay. Yeah. So, this rewiring is a kind of changing ourselves at a microcircuitry level. Our behaviors are founded on synoptic neurological patterning. The more we behave a certain way, the pattern remembers itself, the synapses, and it gets rooted down deeper, reified, congealed, solidified into certain way of mechanism. Scientists have noted this kind of synoptic self, if you will, the mechanism that I talk about. The good news is we can reprogram because scientists have also found that if, basically on the premise that all of our kind of conscious moment in the present are of course filtered through the details of our long-term explicit and implicit memory patterning, kind of neurological synoptic patterning. But at the same time, they're also influenced by the present, current state, mood that you have. In other words, if you get up at the wrong side of the bed and you think of the enemy, it becomes really worse. But if you just come out of jacuzzi or onsen, you know, you're relaxed, and then you see an enemy because your present state dominates, you don't actually process it in the same way. Does that make sense? So in this processing, if in the present you introduce a strong presence of mind that is joyful, gratitude, thankful, next slide, can you press it? Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. It means if there's a strong presence of mind, when you conjure up consciously these patterns, categories that I'm talking about, right? What happens is you're introducing new conditions. And that new synoptic patterning becomes introduced into your mind. Does that make sense? So the more you do this, you can actually reintroduce and change, transform how you actually perceive people and your own categorization, classification breaks down. Okay? So this is the kind of neurological kind of context for the over thousands of year old meditation method of loving kindness. Right? So I wanted to show you kind of these slides. And as for the specific wording, basically, you want to have the most fundamental level, safety. You don't want to die, right? The person, any category. So safety first. And then physically, health, body. And then logically, you know, mind, happy, at peace. So, but the exact wording, you can just come up yourself. You don't have to follow this pattern. If a person is sick, you want to send them good wishes, just go directly, focus on health, 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 health. Does that make sense? Yeah. Or you can just simplify all of this to may I or may you be well. May you be well. May you be well. You know, not nervously reciting that, but calmly. You have to embody as relaxation and kind of gratitude and kindness. Does that make sense? So in this way, you will start to change your orientation to life. You know, you go into the Starbucks. How many of you go to Starbucks? So few. Good for you. We have some. I have some long-time students that they just can't live without Starbucks, right? So do you? So where do you go?
Home.
Nowhere. Go home. Maybe this one. Someone will raise hands. New Leaf. Too expensive for students. Okay, forget it. That's a wrong one. You know, whatever place that you go, whatever store that you go, cafeteria, you know, where food is cheap. You know. the clerk up till now is being neutral. You know, hey, how are you doing? You know, but when you say thank you, you practice this. You don't have to go through all four levels, just sincerity. This person is trying. This person wants to be happy. Very quickly, it can happen very quickly. Thank you. No, you don't want to be too dramatic about it, right? You know, they give you change back, you're like, thank you. Then they'll be like, okay, next. You know? You don't want to do that, but you can practice at all times. You see? People that are difficult, and you know you're ready to enter into a difficult situation, maybe it's job or work or whatever, prepare yourself. Send loving kindness to the people. When this changes, correspondingly, that changes. Do you believe it? If this is already agitated, oh, God, I'm going to do this meeting again. Patterning, right? Patterning. And you're reinforcing it, introducing the same neurological pattern at a microcircuitry level. It just reinforces again and again and again. So change it. Right? I'm going to a meditation space in which everyone in this meeting will help me to practice patience. Right? And then you go. Does that make sense? And you can introduce your life, and then your meditation will become much more stronger, quicker. Usually people bifurcate between my meditation space versus my real life. There's no categorization. That's another classification. Right? This is hobby, and this is real life. Mm-hmm. Right? If you do that, even if you practice 10, 20 years, you'll still be the same vexed person. Integrate. Right from the beginning of your meditation practice, the difficulty enriches my life. If you can't do that, then you start with something simpler. Those people that like me enriches my life. Right? And then, you know, myself. Appreciate yourself. Appreciate yourself. Traditional Buddhist meditation begins always with self. You can't love another person unless you love yourself. But Buddhism came to the West. It discovered something new. A lot of people don't love themselves. Very strange phenomenon for Buddhist teachers. And then they, okay, we gotta scratch our head, change it around then. You know? So whatever easiest for you, start with that. Any questions? 9 o'clock, on time. No questions? How did you do? Did you like it? Raise hands. Okay. Difficult? Raise hands. Okay. All categories? Difficult? Raise hands. Okay, at least you can practice one. So start with that one.
I have a question.
Yes, please.
Can you say the 7 or 8 steps again, categorization?
Six. First one is classification. Let's all work together, right? See if we remember. I teach at FSU. I'm used to giving quizzes and tests. First one, classification. This comes from what? Second. Body. Very corporeally, we are experiencing the world. Our views are embodied, right? Body, mind. Third?
Discrimination.
Discrimination, self, lies in the center of all of our experiences. Fourth, remember the negative and positive. We don't want to think about it that way, but positively start to reach out. Fourth one is the other, not equanimity first. The other, the suffering, just like us. Difficult people, everyone, we experience the suffering. That's the loving kindness part. Fourth one. Fifth, once we can sense the other and see the other, then there is
equanimity.
Do we stop there? Then the sixth one is no self, wisdom. Then you have to come for another day to learn Chan methods, right? Koan and silent illumination. We have retreats and so on. Some literature you can read about. Okay? Any other question? No? All right. Good. Have a good night. Be safe.
You too. Thank you.